pull apart Philippians chapter 3. I have no idea as to how long we will be in this chapter, but I'm not in a hurry. I just simply want us to be able to digest, receive, and handle what the text teaches. So what you can do is just simply write down in your notes Philippians chapter 3. And for a theme, and what I want you to understand is the theme encompasses everything. So from time to time, I may give subtopics to certain sections. But overall, we want to deal with the thought, what matters most? What matters most? Philippians chapter 3. What I do want you to do is, there's a certain section within this chapter that I am actually going to go verse by verse. And I was going to just give you that one section. I changed my mind because I figured that I was going to spend too much time in the introduction of explaining what this chapter is about, so I just made it a part of my message altogether. All right. So what I really need from you to do is to listen attentively, jot down, stay focused, and you will get it. Okay? So we're going to be looking at the thought, what matters most? Everybody clear? What matters most? We'll omit our meditation together. We'll just go straight into the word. Now that we as Christians have been blessed to cross over into the new year, it is vitally important that every born-again believer understands the need, number one, to set goals. Number two, to properly prioritize. And number three, the need to stay focused. So those are three critical things. Set goals, properly prioritize, and stay focused. Now the reason why those three things are so important is simply because of how easy it is for us as Christians to lose sight, to be redirected. When these type things happen, we have a tendency, once we cross over into the new year, we get caught up in chasing stuff or things. And what I want us to understand is that when this kind of behavior takes place, it causes us to lose our joy. We can lose our peace. We can even damage our relationship with the Lord. When you get into this chapter, even into just the book of Philippians, Paul is so conscientious of us in our focus that he mentions the word things a number of times. And I don't want you to think that God does not want to bless you. That's not the point. What he wants us to make sure of is that things don't get us sidetracked. Okay? So Paul, in Philippians chapter 3, focuses on explaining to us that if we're going to set goals, if we're going to properly prioritize, and if we're going to stay focused, Paul says, let me talk to you about what matters most. What's most important? So Paul, in this chapter, has an ultimate objective. He has a goal. And that goal happens to be that Paul, throughout the book of Philippians, deals with what I call having a spiritual mind. And the reason this is so important is because Paul is going to teach us that when the mind is where it should be, stuff falls in place. Okay? Now that's important. Now this is so important because Paul, in essence, is saying this, that a mind is a mind that thinks God's thoughts and is directed into his ways and not with things of the world. So what we must establish now, right now, that if we're going to deal with what matters most, it has a lot to do with how our minds think. So you got to be very careful what you put in your mind, okay, and what we need to take out of our minds. Philippians chapter 2. Verse 5. This issue of the mind is so important that Paul says in this chapter, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Okay? So that's how important it is that the mind operates properly. Not just any kind of mind, but we must develop what I call the mind of Christ. Okay, we're saved, we're filled with the Holy Spirit, but the mind has to be developed. It's got to grow. It's got to be dealt with. We can't just assume that my very nature of being born again is sufficient. So in order for me to operate in my new birth, I got to work on this. That's important. So in order to help us, that we might develop the kind of mind, Paul explains to us in Philippians chapter 3, he does it by giving us, in essence, a spiritual biography of himself. Now, the reason he does this, he wants to set the stage to let us know that we've crossed over into the new year, but everybody has something in common. So this spiritual biography that Paul deals with is extremely unique in the chapter. And the way he does it is he presents his biography about self and his walk with God and his whole life in three parts. Three parts. The very first thing that Paul does, he describes his past. Okay? Now I'm talking slow because the screens have gone out. And I want you to make sure that you get it. So what we don't want to do is become trapped by what we see. I want you to be able to still hear me. So I know you might be thinking, well, he talking to us like we element. That's not what I'm doing. I'm talking so you can hear me and I'm giving you enough time to jot it down. Okay? So he first talks to us about his past. And his past is what he unfolds in verses 1 down to 11. 1 down to 11. Then secondly, Paul leaves his past and brings us to his present. Okay? His present is what he focuses on in verses 12 down to 16. Okay? Then he closes the chapter, opens up his past. In the middle, his present. Then he closes it dealing with future, where he focuses on verses 17 down to 21. Now, Paul does this in a real unique way that locks every believer in this same formula. Got me? When Paul talks, in essence, about his past, he has reference to justification. Got me? So that ought to, a light ought to go off, because that's telling you now, in essence, that Paul is going to address how he managed to have a present in a relationship with God. But he didn't ignore his past. He's not ignoring where he came from. But he wants us to understand, where I am means nothing if you don't know where I came from. Got me? So that's justification. Then when he focuses on the present, he's talking about sanctification. So he moves from justification to sanctification. Then he closes on glorification. Everybody with me? Very important. Now let me lock all of us into the same pattern. We are all experiencing 2022. Let me help you. 21 is past. But you couldn't be in 2022 right now if you didn't have a 21. But that's past. Don't ignore what's past. It's there, but it's there for a purpose. Not necessarily for you to reach back and relive it, but to understand what you went through. To get you to where you are. Are we together? This is how Paul lays out his presentation in Philippians chapter 3. So that means then that Paul writes this third chapter primarily based on his attention concerning some issues that came before him. And there were two major issues that kind of prompt Paul to write what he wrote. Two major issues. The very first one is that there were a group of individuals, there were some people who attempted to undermine Paul's ministry. Okay? And what Paul is going to show us in the chapter, that he had to deal with them on what they were doing to him. Everybody got me? So that was the very first thing that Paul lays out in the text. So in order for us to understand it in detail, let me explain some things. There were a group of people called the Judaizers. And the Judaizers were troublemakers, and they were addressing matters before the people that confused Philippian believers. Not too much different than what we're faced with today. The Judaizers were teaching that which was contrary to the word of God. What they were actually proposing was that they were simply saying that it was necessary for people to keep the regulations regarding the law, that is the Mosaic law, in order to be right with God and reach a spiritual level of maturity. Okay? And kind of ignored matters of what it really took to get right with God. In other words, a kind of a list of do's and don'ts. So the emphasis was placed on what a person in life had accomplished. What are some of the outstanding things that you did last year? The Judaizers would say, if you did something great, if you got received this and you got this award, you were off the chain. And so Paul recognized this fake approach in drawing in Philippians. And Paul was upset. Paul was kind of at that point, how am I going to deal with this? But then there was a second issue that I need you to understand. That was the first. The second one is that there was a problem of disunity among the saints. Got me? That was a problem. So Paul then comes before the people in his final appeal. And he very direct. He addresses a confrontational situation with power and anointing. So here Paul is having to reach back and deal with who he used to be to impact and explain who he is now. And that's not hard for us to grasp, because there are some people in 2022 want to reach back and dig up who you used to be. Got me? So Paul approached the matter of his past first. Got me? He didn't stand flat-footed and ignored the past. See, there comes a point in life that you got to get to realize some things you don't worry about. But there are some matters of your past you got to stand flat-footed on it so you can impact a change that's taking place. Am I making sense to everybody? So Paul focuses his address, his argument, his presentation in chapter 3 by reaching back and said, let me, since y'all bringing this up, and I'm trying to get y'all to understand, there are people who will not accept the real you now, but they'll never forget the old you. In fact, when they see you, they will rather reminisce and bring up the old days. But it becomes your responsibility. Don't sit there and try to be all holier than thou. Own it. I mean, look them straight in the eye. Say, yes, I remember well. We did such and such. We did the other. Yes, I know about very well who I used to be. But give me a minute. Let me tell you about who I am now. That's where we mess up. Where we fall victim to rejoicing and explaining, yeah, we did that. And yeah, you know. And then the person walks away not knowing that they just finished talking to the new you, and the new you didn't say nothing. So I told you from the very beginning that I wasn't going to go in the opening chapter, verse by verse. So here's, I chose major statements that Paul made to get us to where we need with the meat of what's found in the text. So the very first thing I want you to recognize is just simply slide down to verse 6, okay? I want you to listen now to what Paul said. Paul says, concerning zeal, listen to his ownership, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, concerning the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. Paul tells us in verse 6, two important things. Two. Very first one is that Paul says that salvation is not by sincerity. Let me say that again. Salvation is not by sincerity. Now, these are not my words. These are Paul's words. Listen to him. Watch what he says in verse 6 of the text. Concerning zeal, persecuting the church. Paul confessed to what he used to do. Now, this is a critical problem for many Christians because we're so busy trying to show holiness that we pretend we never did nothing. Everybody. Everybody up in here. All of us. You correct. Everybody got a used to be. The problem is that the used to be has gotten out the closet. And the used to be is now or right now. And it's your job to put the used to be back. Paul in the text says, zeal. Now I want you to write that word down, zeal. Because the term zeal indicates the degree of the persecution Paul brought before the church. Paul wasn't killing people and destroying Christians and wrecking the church out of laziness. Homie had zeal. Got me? Look at where I'm going. When we were in the world, we were excited, enthused to get to the club. We got there early. And many of us left late and had to go to work the next day. But that didn't matter. Why? We had zeal. Now, we ain't got no zeal now because many of us old. We do good to find strength just to get up. But the text, watch him now. He says zeal. Now, this zeal that Paul had developed popped up at a very critical time. In fact, according to scripture, it popped up according to the book of Acts. In Acts, right at the point of Stephen's martyrdom, in Acts chapter 8, verse 3, write it down. It says, as for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering every house and dragging off men and women, committing them to prison. So Paul is trying to show us that he had zeal, but it was misdirected. And you can be sincerely as sincere as you want and wrong. I hope you're getting it. Sincerity is of no value when it's misdirected. Number two, second thing Paul lays out, it's seen visibly in the text, is that he says salvation is not by legalistic righteousness. Legalistic righteousness. These are not my words. This is what is born out the text. Listen to what he says. Concerning the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. So it was actually before Paul's conversion that he outwardly conformed himself to the righteousness which is in the law. Now let me break it down to you. Paul was off the chain on the outside, looking like he's right. Am I making sense to you? Whole lot of these things I've talked about on last year. In fact, really since I've been pastor, that has crippled and damaged the church because people put so much emphasis in the wrong areas. Wrong areas. There was a time I never imagined that I could stand before you in stylish jeans. Yeah, stylish. Stylish jeans. Okay? Deliberately purchased because I just like the holes in the jeans. Now, mind you, you ain't going to see my leg in cold weather because I can't handle it. Now, to some people, this is not proper. Can I help you out? Because your attitude is what you have on determines your relationship with the Lord, and you're wrong. Because you can be very well dressed and heading to hell. I grew up in that setting. So the Apostle Paul says that there was a time I maintained the outward appearance that hooked me up with you all that gave me what I needed to be up on top. Let me help you out. In Philippians chapter 3, verse 5. Listen to what Paul says. Watch him now. Very unique. Paul says, circumcised. Listen to him now. The eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, concerning the law, a Pharisee. Paul met all of the criteria outwardly to be off the chain. Watch the terms I'm using. Outwardly. Details of Paul's life indicates that Paul was a respected and looked upon as an outstanding leader. Outwardly. Boy, don't y'all lose sight of that. How many of us have gotten thrown off paying attention to another person and all we saw was what was on the... Because if you ain't careful, you can run up on somebody very well dressed and in your mind, you are thinking their attire doesn't match crazy behavior. But you're wrong. There are a whole lot of crooks that are pimps and dress well. Whole lot of folk. That's what Paul is emphasizing here in the text. Paul met all of that. Paul was so up on who he used to be. It's not that he was bragging. He just said, since y'all know it and y'all been gossiping about it, let me help y'all out. I want you to watch what Paul says to the Galatians. The Galatians in chapter 1, verse 13 and 14a. Chapter 1 of Galatians, verse 13 and 14a. Listen to what Paul says. For you have heard of my former conduct in Judaism, how I persecuted the church of God beyond measure and tried to destroy it. And I advanced in Judaism beyond many of my what contemporaries in my own nation. Paul owned up to his wrongdoing, who he used to be. See, the problem is you got to have a good understanding of who you are now to own who you used to be. Because ain't nothing like showing up around folk that knew you then. And you trying to come on like you ain't never done nothing. Don't do that. Don't do that. You can hush up a whole lot of folk. Tell them, say, yeah, I was one of the ringleaders in the club, did my thing. But what I need you to understand, I'm not that person anymore. So I want you to tell you, up to your face, I appreciate you bringing that up. Because you are helping me on now the new me. You are helping me grasp who I am now. And I need you to also know that since you know who I used to be, let me introduce to you. You need to know now. I don't want you walking away thinking that the person you talking to is the same person. No, a change has come on me. I am a new creature in Christ. How can I acknowledge it? Own it. Don't go grab no broom talking about, I didn't know they were going to bring that up. You bring it up. You ain't bragging and boasting about it. You just take it on ownership. But don't let them walk away. Say, but hold it. I was sitting there, and you know, you were talking about all that. Let me tell you about me now. Such a day, I met a man named Jesus. He came into my life. And back in the day, I was after trying to steal and get what I can and make it over. I don't have to worry about that now. I found out I got a phone in my bosom. And I can call on this man any time I need him. And he's always there. In fact, we tight. We running partners. And they're going to say, what you mean? Let me help you out. Early in the morning, before I step out the bed, he's right there. Boy, y'all looking at me like I'm crazy. He's right there. And on my way to work, he's guiding me. And in the car, before I step out the car, I have a talk with him. In fact, if you're somewhere near my job, you'll see me mumbling and talking to him while I'm on my way in the office. And oh, by the way, I used to have a drink in the middle of the day. I used to have to go back to the car to get high. I don't do that no more. What I do at lunchtime now is steal away. In fact, you might catch me in the restroom. I have to talk to him in the middle of the day and tell him I need him to guide me. I ain't got but 5 more hours left. Guide me. And then when I get home, I need you to know. Back in the day, I would tell you, drop by the house. And we would sit down at the table and talk trash and drink liquor and smoke dope. Don't do that no more. Oh, I have a little talk with the master. And by the way, I changed my method. Before I eat, I drop my head and tell him, thank you. Yes, I ain't got much, but I'm gonna pray. Don't you let folk walk away. Tell your story. Tell them how you get into bed at night. Now you don't need a drink to make you feel good. You can just lay in the bed and look back over the journey of the day and say, Jesus, thank you for another day's journey. All right. Paul wants us to know, and we're going to stop here. I ain't going to go no further. Paul is saying, I got a right to boast. But I don't want you to get confused. I ain't going to boast about that. Ain't nobody higher than I was when I was in the world. Problem with some of us sitting up in here, y'all don't want to acknowledge you were one of the top 10 pimps, hookers, whatever you want to name it. All of us fall in some kind of category. You ain't got to brag and boast about it. But don't forget a change. Okay. I got you right where I need you right now. Just put a pin right there. We've already talked about what Paul acknowledged what he used to do. And on next Sunday, we're going to have to deal with how did Paul finally get to who he is now. Now, I ain't got no problem with you opening the door showing me your skeletons. I got a problem when you let your skeletons be worn on you again. That's the problem. But everybody got some skeletons. I don't care who you are. In fact, there are some folk we don't want to see right now. Because they shocked we ain't who we used to be. Because we did a good job at being that person. Y'all know I'm telling the truth. There was a time some of us, you said something wrong to us, we cussed you out from head to toe and thought nothing of it and had to have some stuff. I've been there. My whole weekend had to be centered on where was I going to go party. And brothers and sisters, Adams Lounge, hung out at Otis Redden's joint. Pimp. Ain't proud of it. But it's good to know that I ain't that person I used to be. Change has come over me. Doors of church open.